Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministries. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I dedicate this program unto you. God, I give you the glory and the praise. I thank you for the gift. And God, I pray that it will fall on good ground and good soil in Jesus' name, and that it will bring forth fruit abundant for the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you, saints. The Lord laid it on my heart to come to you this morning from Joel chapter 2, and we're going to be talking about Joel chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. Just coming out of prayer, we had a powerful time in prayer this morning. If the Lord leads you to join us every Tuesday in the month of August 2016, we're going to be having 5 o'clock prayer. That's 5 o'clock prayer at the Life Church Christian Center in Conyers, Georgia, where Pastor Corey Hamburg is the pastor. Amen. So we're going to, amen, come to you from Joel chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." My pastor spoke on this scripture on Sunday, Joel chapter 2, and the Lord began to deal with my heart about the message. And the Bible says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." That means sound an alarm in my holy mountain. When God says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion," he means warning, amen. A trumpet is blown before warfare. Before the people of God went out into war in the Old Testament, they had someone that would blow the trumpet to announce something, amen. The Bible says God does nothing, but he reveals it to his prophets, amen. So we see here the Bible says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain." Hallelujah. "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord coming, it is near, it is nigh at hand." Praise God. And verse 2, the Bible says, "A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There have not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." Verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. I want to talk to you about verse 3. The Bible says, "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The Bible says our God is a devouring fire. Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire, praise God. And God said, "A fire shall devour before them." I have to tell you that the Bible says that God goes before his people. Now, in the Garden of Eden, we know that the cherubim guard the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. That means fire. Many times in the Bible, God comes in the form of a fire. So the Bible says, "A fire devoured before them." That means God is going to burn up everything in your way. Hallelujah. God is going to begin to, amen, do the chaff, amen. The Bible talks about the chaff and the wheat. God is going to destroy the chaff, amen. And he's going to burn a fire before you. And behind them, a flame burner. That means that people are going to see the glory of God after you leave a situation, after you leave a place. The glory of God is going to remain in that place. Behind them, a flame burner. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Hallelujah. Now, this really blessed me because the Garden of Eden is before you. That means that the blessings of the Lord, hallelujah, that means that the place that your eyes can see, amen, is nothing but a blessing. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Don't look back, amen, like Jesus told in the New Testament. He said, "Remember Lot's wife. Do not look back." The devil wants to make you look back, amen, to make you depressed, to make you sad, to make you remember, amen, the things that God brought you out of. But I want you to look forward. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. That means there's nothing but blessings in store for you. "Yea, and nothing shall escape them." Verse 4, "The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run." That means strength. That means strong. You're going to be strong, amen, because you're going to run with the horsemen, praise God. "Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap," praise God. "Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, they're going to hear you before you come, because the flame is going to devour everything in your way. Like the noise of a flame, a fire devoured the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Behold their face, the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness, they shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. Amen. God is going to give you your hind feet, the Bible says. Hind feet, amen. You're going to jump from mountain to mountain. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall run like mighty men, praise God, and they shall march everyone on his way. They shall not break their ranks. I want you to know God is a God of order. God has established order in the kingdom of God. When it says they shall not break their ranks, I want you to know that means God has established the rankings in the kingdom. And you cannot go above what God has called you to do or be. Amen. God doesn't, he said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you break rank, that's like rebellion. Praise God. The verse 8 says, neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk everyone in his path. That means you're going to do what God has called you to do. You're going to walk that straight and narrow path that God has for you. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. That's a powerful scripture, because God told us in the New Testament, Jesus said before he left, he said, if you drink something that's poisonous, it shall not hurt you. That's the same that we're thinking here. That's the same way of thinking here. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Verse 9, and we're getting into the meat of the message right now in Joel chapter 2. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. 10, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. God says, turn ye even to me. Remember the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, amen, and I will heal the land. So here again, God is saying, turn ye even to me with all of your heart. Hallelujah. I preached a message a couple of weeks ago about being lukewarm. God says he wished that you were either hot or cold, or he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Here again, he's saying, turn ye to me with all of your heart. God wants your whole heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. That's the first commandment, to love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. Here again, the Bible says, turn ye to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Praise God. That means to seek the Lord, praise God, and rend your heart and not your garments. In the Old Testament, they used to tear their garments and put dust and ashes on their face, amen, to show their repentance. But God is getting to a point where he doesn't want you. Jesus said, you look on the outward, God looks at the heart. The Bible says here in verse 13, rend your heart, not your garments. That means God wants you to open up your heart to him. Break up that fallow ground, amen, so God can begin to plant things in you and remove the things that are not glorifying him, and begin to plant new things that you can become a new creature in him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Verse 14, for who knows, the Bible says, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing. This really blessed me. Leave a blessing. My pastor's preaching on the blessing. Amen. The blessing is upon you. The Bible says that he will return and repent of the evil that he thought to do. to you, amen, because of your sins. The Bible says your sins have separated you from your God. But the Bible also said if you rend your heart and not your garments, he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil that he thought to do. For the Bible says in verse 14, who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him. When you're in the presence of the Lord, he promises to leave a blessing, amen, behind him. Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now another verse says he will leave a blessing that you may offer a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord. Because when he blesses you, he wants, it's natural for you to want to bless him back. Amen. And how do we bless him? He said the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I would not tell you if I was hungry. But God desires an offering from that means something. Amen. He desires, he wants us to give. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So when God blesses you, he wants you to give back, amen, unto him, that the kingdom may be blessed, that the people of God may be blessed. But, amen, turn your hearts, rend your hearts and not your garments. That's the message for today. But he said that he will leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord. That means you're to offer it unto him, again, your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, verse 15, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now, this is very important because God, this is something that God is calling his people to gather. He said, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Praise God. Verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Hallelujah. If you understand the Old Testament, you understand the temple, the porch and the altar is where the sacrifice was made. They said, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people. That means intercede. It's time to intercede for the people of God. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen shall rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Remember in the book of Exodus, where Moses told God, when God said he was going to destroy the people because of sin, what did Moses say? He said, if you destroy them, then the Egyptians, which represent the world, are going to say, he brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. He could not bring them in. Moses pleaded and interceded for the people of God. Well, here again we see that the prayers being made, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. God said that the heathen would not rule over you, but you will rule over the heathen. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity the people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Verse 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land that is barren and desolate. Your enemies, God is going to remove you far from them. He's going to drive your enemies into a barren land, into a desolate land. Not you be barren, not you be desolate, but your enemy is going to be driven into a barren land and a desolate place. With his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savior shall come up, because he have done great things. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. That means you're going to inherit a blessing. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He commanded us to rejoice today. Amen. The Bible says rejoice with them that do rejoice. But it also says to rejoice in the day of the Lord. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. This has never been heard of before. The former rain usually comes, I think, in February or March. That's the spring. And the latter rain comes in October. There's a six-month time lapse between the former rain and the latter rain because the former rain is to begin the process of breaking up the soil, the fallow ground that you can plant to soften up the ground. The latter rain is right before harvest to bring in the harvest. But God said, I'm going to give you the former rain and the latter rain at the same time. That's a double blessing. Remember when Elisha was following Elijah, and he said, and Elijah asked him, what do you want me to do for you before I'm taken up? Elisha said, that I may have a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken away, then you, he said, it's not easy. You've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken away, then you shall have what you request. Elisha would not let go. He clung to the man of God. No matter where he went or what he did, Elisha did not let the man of God, Elijah, the Tishbite, out of his sight. And he received a double portion. So much to the point that when he died, in his grave, his bones were still anointed. After his death, he was still anointed because they threw somebody that was dead in the same graveyard, and that man came back to life. So this is the power of God. But the Bible says that God is going to give you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That means a double portion. Verse 24, and the floors, your floors, shall be full of wheat, and your vats shall overflow with wine and oil. That means your floors are going to be full of wheat. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the blessing of the Lord. Your floors shall be full of wheat, and your vats shall be overflow with wine and oil. That means a double portion blessing, saints. In Joel chapter 3, the Bible says, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Talking about the people of the devil, amen, how God is running them out. But the vats overflow, amen, and it shall come down, Joel 3 and 18, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and all the river of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Amen. So we're talking about Joel chapter 2, verse 24, your floors shall be full of wheat, and your vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Let's go to verse 25. The Bible says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army that I sent among you. God sent the cankerworm. God sent the caterpillar, and God sent the palmer worm when we were not doing what God told us to do, when we were doing our own thing, when we were walking in our own ways. But God is saying, I am a God of restoration. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. God is going to restore. God is in the process, in the season of restoration right now. In verse 26, he said, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I want to add again, if I could add that there, I would say never be ashamed again. You shall never walk in shame. Amen. God wants you to walk in humility. God wants you to humble yourself before him that he can exalt you in due season. But in verse 26, he said, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. There's not going to be any lack. He said, and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you. Verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. Yet there is no other God before you. I am the Lord your God, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward. Now, this really got to me because I was thinking, you know, we always quote the verse, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. But we don't quote the first part of that verse. It shall come to pass afterward. After what? After the blessing, after the restoration, after the plenteous in the floors, your floors are full of wheat and your vats overflow with wine. After you rejoice in the Lord, for he hath given you the former rain and the latter rain in the same time. After the blessing, then it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. First the blessing, naturally, then the blessing, spiritually. Praise God. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. So sometimes we don't understand what God is saying. But God is saying, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your children, and then I'm going to bless you with spiritual blessings. Verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Remember in verse 1, the Bible, this chapter started off talking about the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, Joel ended up with the same thing. He said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Remember Jesus said, the Bible says, if you call on the name of Jesus, amen, you shall be delivered. If you lift up Jesus, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He said, there is no name in heaven above or below the earth that is greater than the name of Jesus. And the Bible says here, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. There's a great deliverance coming for the people of God and for the world. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, the Bible says, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Praise God. I want to end, amen, with this chapter, chapter 2, but I want you to know, be blessed. Know that the blessing is on you. Even as my pastor has said, the blessing is on you. The day of the Lord is nigh, and the Spirit of the Lord, he's going to pour out on his children great blessings in the spiritual realm as well as in the natural realm if you wait on him. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and I'm going to end with this. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and 31, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And if we read that in the King James Version, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is a promise and the word of the Lord for you today. God bless you, and I hope this message bless you today. I love you with the love of the Lord. This is Minister Amos signing off from Manna Teaching Ministry. God bless you.